bishop, have a pastor, have a reverend talk about the story, and we hear the story and we close the church and we go home.
Preach major.
But the Bible says in Luke chapter,
I receive.
But what they forget is Joel chapter 2 verse 27. It says what? Joel chapter 2 verse 27. And I want you to read together, right? Now, are you here or your home? What just happened?
We hear major.
Now, one, two, three, go read. How will they not be put to shame? How will they not be put to shame? How will you in this church never be put to shame? Verse 28 is the answer. Verse 28 says what? On all flesh, your sons. Give Jesus a big shout. The Bible says, afterward, I will look at my people. I will never want them to go through shame. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I got people in this room who are passing through shame. They have got rent they have not paid. They've got businesses that are not moving at all. People are laughing at them. When God saw those people, he said to me, they are not supposed to go through shame. I'll pour out my spirit on young men, on major one. He shall begin to prophesy. Are you hearing me, somebody? The Bible says the solution to the shame that people are having is what? Prophecy. Sit down. This is how religion is. Now they say, no. This was like I told you one time. I said, you see, politically we received freedom as Africa, but spiritually we did not. Because in those days, they were using religion as a controlling method. At least if they were allowing people to receive Jesus Christ in the church, no problem. I have no problem with that. But you see, all the Christian churches, which most of us, we come from a long time ago, they have nothing to do with receiving Jesus. Can't preach nothing. And then other churches began to come in. And when these other churches began to open up their eyes, they began to come in Africa. But they had nothing. They were said to receive Jesus Christ, but they had nothing to do with the miracles. And it is now there are our old apostles who began to preach a long time ago. They began to resist the prophetic. So no, what is this? Now you must understand that there was that time of that religion. Then there was the Pentecostal movement. Then there was the charismatic movement. Now there's the prophetic movement.
Bring it on, Daddy.
You see, now the world can resist us. Now the world can resist us. But I told you, in the next 5 years, it'll be impossible for a church to stand if they don't believe in the prophetic. They'll lose all their members. Because many prophets like me, they're coming. Many prophets are coming. Many prophets are coming. Many prophets are coming. I'm seeing many prophets are coming. God is raising prophets in Africa. God is one of the prophets in the world. Are you hearing me, somebody? It'll be impossible. They may resist me now, but a few years from now, it'll be impossible to resist me, because there'll be another one like me somewhere. There'll be another one like me somewhere. There'll be another one like me. Another one, another one, another one. There will be a prophetic revival this world has never seen. Jesus is about to come. His word must come to pass. I'll pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. I am seeing many people here prophesy. The spirit of prophecy is coming upon people. Even in this room, they shall prophesy. God said, this is how I'll take out the shame from people. He said, my people will never be put to shame. And God gave the whole method of how they'll stop being put to shame. He said, the way I will do it, my people will never be put to shame. How will I do it? I will pour out my spirit on all people. And then young men shall begin to what? To prophesy. They shall begin to see visions. He says, this is how I will remove the shame from my people. This is why you are here tonight. Because God wants to take away your shame. He wants to make you get married. He wants to give you a baby. He wants to receive a miracle. He wants you never to be put to shame. Am I communicating? Am I speaking to somebody? Says the Lord, I am he that formed you. From your mother's womb, I put you together. And I, the Lord, shall bless you and remember you. For the Lord, the King of Zion, says from his holy mountain. That's what the Bible says. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. This says, do not. You see, there are people in the church who just come to church. They don't know what God is doing. Why they are where the prophet is. They just don't know. They are just in a congregation. To them, it's normal. It's not. God saw your shame. And he now brought somebody to prophesy. The world is not going backwards. The world is moving forward. This reason why those don't prophesy in all those churches that don't believe in the prophetic, I'm telling the truth. In the next 5 years from now, the churches don't believe in the prophetic. They will have big problems. As I'm speaking to you right now in America, every year more than 300 churches, they are closing. Do you know why? Because people are tired of hearing stories. People, they want to see the proof. We are living in the world where people want to see evidence. People want to see elengos. People want to see evidence. Are you hearing me, somebody? People want to see proof. People want to see the move of God.
Oh, yes.
You can Google on internet. Google on internet now. If you Google on internet, churches for sale in England, you'll find many, many churches. For sale. They also, we are selling the building. We are even selling the administration. How many members? Four. Google the history. This is the church that had about 4,000 people just years ago. But what is happening now? Because they don't believe in the prophetic. They don't believe in the prophetic. And Africa is about to start experiencing that. Churches, they don't believe in the prophetic. They will suffer big problems. Because people have got problems. They are tired of visiting places they don't want to visit. The change will become a solution, says God. Africa must know this. 5 years from now, prophetic will become stronger. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? Sit down. So when you're in a prophetic church, you think you're just there. You are not just there. God knows your shame. And he says, no, not this one. I don't want you to be put to shame. The Bible says, I will remove their shame by pouring out my spirit. And they're being prophesied. Now, so God knows exactly what you're passing through. No wonder I've got testimony all the times. Oh, I have a testimony. I didn't have a baby for 12 years. And when I came here, the prophet prophesied. Now I have got a baby. This is the baby. Oh, I was jobless. I didn't have a job. Oh, I was in jail. Oh, I was this. Oh, I was this. Because God is interested. That's why people who are in church, who are just a congregational people, who just sit here as just ordinary people, they don't receive. Until you begin to twist your mentality. to say, this is the man to remove my shame. This is the man to prophesy about my situation. God has sent this man for me. I must look him with the eyes of a prophet.
I receive.
I prophesy your rising up. I prophesy your taking over.
I
prophesy.
I receive.
Raise your hands, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now sit up a moment. If you don't know that, it's a big problem. When you know, God saw me, he saw my shame, he put me in a prophetic place. Why? Because the prophetic takes away the pathetic.
Oh yes.
Don't be a congregational person who just sit in the congregation somewhere else and say, oh, here's a prophet preaching. Oh, I'm going to church. No. That's where prophets are attacked. You see, somebody was like, oh, have you heard this? Oh, they're saying this about you. I said, I looked in his eyes. I felt sorry for him. I said, so they were telling you this, all this story, and they were there hearing and listening. He said, yes. I said, do you know that on all this story, I will never be affected? I will never stop believing in God. I will never stop fasting. Even now I'm fasting. I will never. But you'll be affected. Because the devil is targeting your faith, not my faith. They are bringing these stories to you. Why are they not bringing them to me? To you, because you are the one who is a target. Nothing will change about me. God raised me. He raised me up. That's it. I'm up there. But you. Nothing will change. Even if they say whatever they want to say. Nothing will change. God raised me up. Some miracles. Somebody say miracles.
Miracles.
Hear me. In those days, people were believing in miracles because they were seeing miracles happen. Imagine they were studying the Torah. In the Torah, there's a story of Moses, how he separated the sea. In the Torah, there's a story of prophets. It is in the Torah where in all the five books of Moses, that's where you see how God used prophets in the Torah. So these people had faith in prophets. But when the gospel came to Africa and those politics added inside of it, it was no longer the gospel. It was just a religion. Are you hearing me? It was no longer what? The gospel. It was what?
Religion.
This is why you can actually be killed for believing. Your own family can hate you for believing. Your own brother can say to you, I will never call you again because of believing. Because they were born in the system. So the ideology is in them. They believe because that's how they were grown up. That's how they were raised up by their parents. But hear me. Miracles are real. We are not a religious church. We are a prophetic church. We believe the word as it is. Without removing something, without adding something. We believe in miracles. We believe in the prophetic. We believe in the apostolic. We believe in the pastoral. We don't remove or add anything. Now, because of that, I want you to know one thing tonight. Hear me. I know most of you, because of that history, it really affected so many people. In my book about the anointing, right? I wrote things that affected the anointing. Number one is religion. Trust you me, people are here. All there is to judge everything. Like, oh, is that really real? And that didn't happen because of their background. Because of the churches they used to go. So they ask anything. No, can that happen? Can that be? Can that? Look at that. Look at that. You see? And I've reached a level of just coming to church because everybody's coming to church. But trust you me, miracles are real. Hear me. I remembered one of my sons today, came to me and said, oh, your God has performed a miracle. I'm like, well, what's wrong? He's like, now I'm buying this house. I didn't deposit anything. I didn't have this money, but it just miraculously, I'm buying. He's here, actually. I'm buying this. And he was showing me pictures. He was showing me pictures of the house. And I looked at him and I said, the miracles are real. You people, hear me. I was speaking to my pastors, and one of all the people who stood with me, this man over here, just stand up. You see, these are the men who saw me preaching, or everybody was denying me. Even this man. This man, he was the first man to buy me the first computer. Hey, do you have those pictures with you? Oh, just show me. Just okay. The first computer for me to be using, he came and donated. He employed a secretary, being paid by him. 13 years ago. This is the picture. Just show that picture. That, all what you're seeing there, was first, all those things you're seeing there. But you can actually see that the tie, I began to wear a tie a long time ago, right? No, I was smart. Come on, you can clap hands for me for that. I was right. That man over there, he is one of great men of faith. If you want to see faith, that guy has got faith. Those are men of faith. He stood with me. Even my son here, Hala. Yes, sir. The first fees for... You see how they're celebrating you. You see, he was at another place. He was in the university, Chancellor College University. He was studying Bachelor of Science. The first fees, this man was the one who was running up and down to find fees. This is the man who believed in us when we were moving, preaching the gospel. I honor this man for that. I really honor this man for that. I flew him. I was in Malawi. I took him by flight. I said, you're going to go and see the thing you fought for. And he's living in my house right now. You better do something that when 10 years from now, you should be remembered. Major, I want you to say, you, come over here. I'll never forget you for what you did. This man over here. You see, so that man can't. When you hear people saying, you know, like all these people, they're just looking for money. You ask those people, they'll tell you. When we are moving in villages, preaching, sleeping in a classroom, asking the headmaster of the school, the principal of the school, sleeping in a classroom 7 days under a heavy mosquito bite. Not mosquito, the mosquito, you know. These ones were like exotic mosquito. Do you know exotic mosquito? They don't even make noise when they're flying. You won't even hear there's a mosquito. All you'll be hearing is bites. They actually know when you're about to kill one. When you're trying to hit where you're feeling the pain, they fly before you do that. You keep on beating yourself. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus Christ. Turn about, do something now.
Do something
now. No, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Turn about. You see, this is that man. He really played a very big role, as much as my history is concerned. He has pictures of showing me pictures. I had even forgotten those pictures. He was showing me pictures. Odd pictures. Odd pictures. That man over there. You are sitting now. You are sitting like that.
I'm telling you.
Do you know people who fought for this? Those were men behind protecting the calling. People fighting them. Lost friends, lost families, because they didn't want the work of God to die. Yeah. Are you here?
Yes.
How many believe in miracles? So I was telling him, I was telling him when we were coming in the flight, I said, sir, only my life. Only my what? I looked at him and said, only my life. How God began to change my story right back in Malawi when I was right there in Mzuzu. Okay? How God began to change my story right there in Mzuzu when I had bought the first house, the second house, the third house. And he was reminding me of a miracle that had happened when he came to see me to my at least better house. Okay? There's two bedroom, but that's better. Give him a microphone just now. One, he was reminding me a miracle that happened in his prayer. I had even forgotten about it. And when he had reminded me, I remembered. And what was the miracle that happened when you came to the house, like 11 or 12 years ago?
There was this lady who had come and she had not experienced her menstrual periods for a period of time. I've just forgotten the time. But when she came in the house, the first thing that happened to her, she felt like going to the tap and drinking some water. So the moment she went to the tap, drank some water, and she went to sit down on a sofa, the moment she sat down, the period started immediately, to the point that...
All right. He was reminding me. And this woman... I hadn't forgotten about these miracles. This woman had, for a long time, a period of 3 solid years, she had not done her menstrual. When she came into my house and she took water in the tap, that time my house, anybody could come. There was no fence, there was no protocol. Excuse me? So she came, took some water, just drinking the water in my house. That was enough.
Yes.
Stand up. Let's do some miracles now. So, what do I mean when I say miracles? What is a miracle? A miracle, it is an impossible becoming what?
Possible.
Now, tonight, I want you to believe an impossibility to become possible. You don't believe in miracles until you tell me you are believing that tomorrow you're going to be a millionaire.
Yes. Yes.
You will not tell me you believe until you start believing crazy stuff.
Yes.
I want a person who can believe, that prophet. Let me say this to you. Some of you are having a big problem. You don't have a source of money. You don't even know where the things will come from. The only option you have now is a what? A miracle. I'm telling you, the only option that is left with you, it's a what? It is a miracle. Now, I want a person who says, Major, I believe when you pray, a miracle is going to happen to me. It's a tough competition, my dear. But I believe in miracles. What have I said?
I believe in miracles.
It is a tough competition. But I believe in what? The enemy is over you. But I believe in the miracles. You don't know what's going to happen next. But you have come to a prophet who believes in the miracles.
Oh yes. I receive.
Hear me. You may be shocked. This coming tomorrow.
I receive.
You may be shocked. In 2 months from now.
I receive.
You don't even have a guru car. You don't even have a house on your own. If you believe in miracles, God is going to perform it for you.
I receive.